This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
Hey, nice. This is Lusander Fiend, the dear sweet bacon emperor, and I'm joined by Lisa Egan, the dear sweet duck empress, and Nick Hazelton, the little punk juvenile delinquent.
This is a trap.
You got ambushed.
Now, how long ago was it that you said that you wanted to be called the dear sweet yak emperor?
Oh, it could have been as much as like 2 months ago, but it was at least a month ago.
How's that working out for you?
I thought it was going pretty good for the first week, but maybe after this show, we'll garner some more support again.
Oh my God, you sound like a voter. You just take a look and keep on ticking. Yeah, I really don't know what it is that's making you tick, man.
It's the yak blood. It boosts my ego a little bit.
Are you drinking
it? It's the extra testosterone, maybe.
Are you drinking it? Shooting it? Snorting it? What?
I'm shooting it. You need to have a good mixture. It's about a 45-55 solution of yak blood and nick blood. And it makes me a little bit fiery and warm.
There might be a market for yak testosterone supplements or something. I know you're looking for uses for all parts of the yak.
That's right.
Waste not, want not.
Right.
Well, it's like I say with the pig. I love the pig. I eat the whole thing from the rooter to the tooter. Nothing goes to waste.
Do you really eat the feet and the stuff and stuff like that?
No.
Or are you just joking?
I eat the bacon and then like some of the stuff kind of close to that, but once you get past the bacon, not so much.
Yeah, so I took a pig to a new butcher recently, and they told me like you should take everything from it. We're gonna give you the tail, the skin, the feet. I don't know if they gave me the feet. Now I think about it, but they gave me the head and the tail. And I was like, what am I gonna do with a tail? And there's a few people who make soup out of tails, and they say, well, just feed it to a dog. But I was wondering if you actually have, if you were practicing the, whatever they call it, the, I can't remember what they call it. There's a special, like, term for eating all the animal. And I was hoping that you had some ideas of how to eat tail.
You mean, you mean living under socialism?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I'm based upon what I could tell from tails, there's really not enough meat there. So probably the best you can hope for is to boil it and get a little bit of broth or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe throw in like the hooves or something like that. The hooves, the tail, and maybe the ears. Get a nice little piggy broth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might try that.
So what did they suggest to you as far as possible uses or things that you could do with the extra parts?
Well, the butcher didn't really suggest anything, but I asked online in a few pasture pig groups, and I mostly was interested in seeing what they priced it as, because I'm going to see if somebody's going to buy it from me. I doubt anybody's going to buy the pigtail, but a few people said soup. And then other people said dog food.
Okay, yeah, dog food sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, what else is going on in the land of pigs and yaks?
Well, this week we're finally going to get rid of our mean bull, which means I can start working with the yaks again, and I'll be able to get Steve Miller's yak bolo tie picture. And nice. I'm really excited to get this bull out of here. I'm just sick of having to deal with him. It's just such a pain.
So what's going to happen? Is he going for a ride or something? Is he going to live on another farm?
he's gonna meet his end at the end of the week. Here we're having a mobile slaughter come out, and so I'm gonna ask the butcher if he'll let me fire the gun, but that might not be professional for him, so I don't know if he'll let me do it. But I hate this animal. He's tossed me, so I've got beef with him. I've got yak with him.
Do you have pod beef going on? You have farm beef?
Farm beef.
I've heard a little bit about this bull. I'm very little though. So like what's been going on? What's up with him?
Yeah, I've told the story on the Fiends before, but it was a long time ago because this happened like back in November or October or something like that. It was still nice outside, but I'll give this story, I guess. So it was one day he was in rut, and he was a little bit ornery, and he's a bottle fed bull. He was raised as a baby, really close to people. So he doesn't have the same boundaries as an animal that's not raised around people. You know, they say don't feed the bears and the animals in the wild, right? Because they get too used to humans and they get close, and yaks are just not that tame. So you don't want to have that kind of wild animal, that big of an animal to be too comfortable with you. And so he was being a little bit ornery one day, and I knew to watch out for him, but somehow they got out of the smaller paddock thing, the smaller pen I had for him. They weren't used to being put into that small of an area. It wasn't very small, but they still weren't in the same area as earlier because I moved it from one field to the next. And so they were a little bit upset. They got out and they were running around a little bit. They were pretty stressed out. And we were doing something. I had my uncle and my grandfather, my great uncle and my grandpa, and we were trying to round them back into the pen. And I guess my uncle was not paying attention to him. I know he had a little bit to drink that night, but...
The yak or your uncle?
My uncle. But
These details are important here.
These are important.
which one of them is the Trump supporter? Because everybody says...
I think
says,
it's the yak.
Okay, because everybody says, I like Trump because he speaks his mind. Well, so does my drunk uncle and my drunken yak. And as a matter of fact, they say the same stuff.
They just grunt. I'm sure
that'll be a meme before lunchtime tomorrow.
That'll be great. I kind of want to do that now. I've heard of drunk moose. Do you have those up there, really? In Bear Scratch Pond?
Oh, yeah, there's moose up here.
Well, but I've heard of them getting drunk off fermented apples.
It's an interesting.
I don't know how accurate that was, but
yeah, I don't have any personal knowledge of that.
Okay,
so I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility, but I mean, I know they're generally not allowed in the bars.
What was that sign? We saw a sign the other day that said something about keep your kids away from the moose, or what did it say?
Oh yeah, it said protect our children, and then there's another sign below it that says from the moose. We're out on our walk, and we went down by the park. So I don't think that's an actual warning sign. I think that's two signs that were put together that were, you know, kind of had like a funny outcome. But I mean, you know how these youpers are up here. I mean, they do all sorts of silly stuff. Just youper things.
I was a little concerned.
But yeah, we do have youper. When you live in the Upper Peninsula, is also referred to as the UP. So the youpers are the people who live in the UP, and they have this strange thing about being native-born youpers, like that their DNA randomly landing here makes them special or something like that. and everybody that lives below the Mackinac Bridge, so in the Mitten part of Michigan, they are referred to as the trolls because they live under a bridge.
Oh.
Oh, no. That's awesome. Oh, you gotta love. It's not even nationalism. That's like
Some kind of localism.
It's literal yeah, statism.
It's Uperism.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's literal statism. So, but yeah, there's moose up here. They're very big. They're very ornery too. They're probably as bad as your drunken yaks.
Yeah.
Probably as bad as that bull of yours once he gets some Schlitz in him. and
their drink of choice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the bull drinks the bull, but anyway, yeah. And the moose, they're dumb as a fence post. I mean, they have like these little tiny brains, and they're just very they won't even think twice about attacking something, whether it's a vehicle, a person, another animal, I don't know, a really big tree or a rock. I mean, they're just as dumb as a bunch of voters. and real ornery. So, but I guess the way that they're hunted up in like Alaska is because they're so dumb, people will actually walk up behind them and shoot them in the head with a .22.
Whoa.
That's amazing.
That's what I've heard.
That's crazy. I kind of want to do that. That's neat. Wow.
Well, why don't you practice on that bull?
Yeah, I'd love to try to practice on that. He won't let me get close to him.
Really?
No.
So what does he do? He runs off or what?
No, he runs to me. I mean, he'll let me get close, but he won't let me come behind him. You know, I'll get close, but he's going to toss me up in the air 5 feet.
Well, don't climb on him. Just, you know, like walk up behind him and plug him from a short distance.
Well, he's too smart. He knows where I'm at. He watches me. They're not as dumb as moose, apparently, because they watch. They watch and see what's going around. They're very attentive.
So they don't trust you?
No, they don't trust me at all.
They don't trust the hand that feeds them.
Well, I don't really feed them. That's the thing. They're mostly free range animals. They're my little free range slaves.
No wonder. And you have to put them on food stamps and domesticate them. Then they'll vote for you and trust you.
So that's how the pigs are. Maybe I should implement a new yak program.
Yeah, more Freedom Fiends yak stamps after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
I'm joined by Lisa and Nick. And hey. Nick, you're going to continue your yak genocide story. You're the tyrant. You're the tyrant with an enemies list that's going to start purging the animals on your farm.
That's so right.
So continue with that.
Yes, yeah, so we had a few animals escape from their designated area. And we had to round them back up and put them back in the rightful place.
Build a wall.
I had my team with me. We did have to repair a fence.
Make the yak farm great again.
That's actually part of my long-term wishes is to have a concrete wall for a compound, but it's never going to happen. But no, anyway.
Just tax the yaks harder.
There you go. Yeah, so the yaks were out one day. One of my ornery bull. It was during breeding season, so he had his testosterone flowing. He was feeling pretty good about himself, I'm sure. And I was three of us, my great uncle, my grandfather, and I, trying to herd these yaks back, and we weren't doing it in the most orderly way. We could have been a lot slower, but I was in a hurry because I was hungry and we wanted to eat dinner. So, but we were just not doing it very well. My uncle did have a little bit to drink, and he was close to the bowl, and I know my uncle was probably feeling a little bit confident, and so he was making some noise, and he just wasn't being careful with this bowl. I don't know exactly what happened, but I came around the corner of my house, and I saw him. He's probably maybe 10 yards away from me at that point. I see him. He's really close to the bowl. And all of a sudden, I just see him go right up in the air and scream. He let out this like death scream, like one of those primordial, just terrible sounds. And I was like, oh no, he's dead. And the only thing that popped in my head is I need to get this bowl away from him. So I ran up there and I had a little bamboo stick. It wasn't a pole or anything. It was like a little switch. And I ran up on the bull, and the bull's still facing my uncle, who's on the ground. And I was about to hit him in the shoulder, trying to get his attention away. But then I was like, wait, no. If I hit him, he's just going to get mad, and his attention is focused on my uncle. He's going to drive him into the ground and just kill him if he's not already dead. So I hesitated, and in that split second as I hesitated, the bull, he turned on me and flipped me backwards. So I fell backwards, and I got up afterwards, and I just yelled at my uncle, get up on the deck, because we have our deck is about 2 or 3 feet off the ground. If a bull wanted to jump up there, he could, but it was the next best place. So we got up there, and we ended up fine. I didn't remember anything. I just kind of put the pieces together what happened, but all I remember is seeing my uncle in the air, hearing the scream, being right up about to hit the bull, hesitating, and then seeing his face and mine, and then being on the ground and getting up, and then back on the porch. It was a crazy experience. I don't know how high in the air I was. My grandfather was out of the way. He managed to stay safe. We're wondering how he did that. It's kind of a classical Hazleton move to not be on the situation, but being an observer.
He was smart enough to be smoking the funny stuff instead of drinking the stuff that makes you dumb. Yeah, maybe the yak needs to get away from the hard liquor, because that makes a lot of people and animals violent. So maybe the yak just needs to chill out and, you know, eat some grass and smoke some grass.
Hey, never know.
Yeah, so these bulls, do they get like the horns like when you see the cow bulls, they got the big old horns on them?
Yeah, they have really impressive horns.
Okay. Are they the pointy ones, or are they filed down like Hellboy?
They're not that filed down, no. They're pretty pointy.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, Lisa just brought up a picture, and kind of looks like a bantha from Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, they're huge, and they're pretty BA. Oh my gosh. They're impressive, yeah. Animals.
So this bull that you're gonna snuff out, when you're gonna rub them out this coming week or so, mm-hmm. Because you don't like them.
Yeah, he's just dangerous. We need rid of him.
Okay, have you harvested fur from him yet?
No.
How about from any of the others?
No, not yet, but as soon as he's gone, that's the plan.
Oh, so you're going to give him a haircut after he's gone.
Yeah, so we're actually going to keep his hide. We're going to keep his hide this time.
All right, so you're not going to be like Grease. They give people the haircut before they're dead. All right, more Freedom Fiends. We'll be back. Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
joined by Lisa and Nick. And before we were talking about how Nick is going to rub out one of his yaks because he doesn't like them. So yeah, you're kind of like a cop, Nick. You're using your position of authority to punish others and impose your will and be a jerk. But you're not the only one, because there's actual real cops doing that. Lisa, what do you got for us here?
Oh, in Texas a couple of days ago, a police officer was pulling somebody over on the side of the road, and a group of motorcyclists drove by, and he pepper sprayed them. And so far we don't know the reason, but it was caught on camera, not only on the cop's lapel camera, but also a couple of the motorcyclists had GoPro cameras. So there's video you can see online of that. Did you hear about that, Nick?
No, that's almost impressive that you can pepper spray that many people. But
they're driving past him, and so he's just holding out the pepper spray and hosing him down. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I really have a hard time with this, because if it's for safety purposes, nothing says safety like, I don't know, blinding a bunch of people that are on flimsy two-wheeled vehicles and bunches of them at one time. So, and at the very least, they're going to crash and probably hurt themselves, if not crash into vehicles, maybe cause somebody to go off the road or something like that. So, it's beyond the normal cop stupidity. And that's pretty bad, because cops are basically really stupid to begin with. But if he's agitated because there's 200 bikers going by him, well, what about 200 vehicles that are going by any other time that he's engaging in road piracy and shaking people down for the government?
Yep.
So, what's his rationale? And you know, what in the happy Halloween's the matter with this window-looking retard? And I mean no offense to actual people that have mental retardation. I should apologize for that in advance. I don't mean to insult you people by comparing this dirtbag cop to you guys.
Right. Yeah, and right.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. So, no, I think you're exactly right. And they say protect and serve, and we all know that the Supreme Court has said, no, you don't actually have an obligation to protect people. But, no, I think you make an excellent point about the safety. I mean, you can't pepper spray people that are going more, like, even if you're going 15 miles an hour. That's a really, really stupid idea. And I guarantee these people are going faster than that, right? Probably. I can't imagine why you would think that that's a good idea. You have to have something wrong with you. You have to have a huge ego complex to be able to do that. You have to have the belief that you have the authority to do that, and then not think about what your consequences would be afterwards. I think that's tyrannical. That's kind of the definition of a tyrant, of somebody who doesn't realize the consequences of what the decisions they make, because they don't really have to think about the consequences, because they'll be fine afterwards.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards Hanlon's razor, which Bill Buford has talked about many times. Never attribute to malice that which can adequately be explained by stupidity. And I have to lean towards stupidity on this one here. I'm sure there's some libido dominandi in there, but and that means the lust to dominate. And that's not the good lust to dominate either. That's not the that's not the good domination that costs $50 extra. that's just being a jerk. And I really think that this guy is dumb enough to say, hey, it'll probably be fun if I pepper spray these guys and maybe some of them will get in an accident.
That's kind of how I imagined it too when I watched the video, because he'd already pulled over another truck, and the truck was part of the group of motorcyclists and was there to kind of like pace them and help them out in case they had an incident. And The cop just gets out of his car and, you know, aims the pepper spray, and this cloud comes out, you know, towards the motorcyclists. And, you know, one article I read said that there had been a few complaints. You know, people were calling the police and saying that the motorcyclists were popping wheelies and doing tricks and all kinds of crazy stuff. But one of the witnesses who shot, you know, video footage of this said he didn't see anything like that. He said he thinks that's just propaganda, you know, to try to form some kind of justification for the cop doing this. But even if they were doing things like that, the cop spraying pepper spray at them would be the absolute worst thing to do. Because like you said, you know, what a way to make sure an accident actually happens. And thankfully one did not, but I can't even comprehend. I watched the video and I'm like, this can't be real. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've seen a lot of stupid cop videos, but geesh.
And there's a lot of stupid cop videos out there because there's a lot of stupid cops.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
So what's the story with this guy? Has he been like made patrolman of the year? What's the story?
He's on desk work right now, as you know, they call it. We're on administrative leave. I don't remember which one it is. He's not on the streets right now, but we know what will happen. There'll be some justification for it, or he may get a little slap on the wrist, and I'm sure he'll be out doing his job again.
Or maybe he'll get fired and then get hired like down the road at some other department with a little letter or email of recommendation saying, hey, look, we had to sacrifice this guy, but go ahead and hire him because you know he'll do the dirty work when it needs to be put in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens.
Hey, do we have any updates on any other psychotic cop activities going on, Lisa?
Yeah, this story happened in, I'm not proud to say this, but my home county, Prince George's County, Maryland. A couple of days ago, there was a shooting at a police department in Landover, Maryland. Three brothers went to the police station. This is the story, but of course, all the details aren't firmed up yet. I went to a police station, and one of them, I guess, was planning to do like a suicide by cop kind of thing. And the two other brothers sat in the vehicle and recorded the suicidal brother going out and actually shooting at the doors or windows of the police station. So there was a police officer who was off duty and in plain clothes who was outside and stepped in, you know, to try to fend off the shooter. And he ended up being shot and killed. And of course, at first, the story was that, you know, the shooter, you know, the criminal, alleged criminal, shot him and killed him. Then it came out that he was actually killed by friendly fire, which is the strangest term to me, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, in the military, there's a list of Murphy's Laws, and one of them is friendly fire is not.
Right, yeah. So today, this afternoon, an update came out and said that the shot that struck and killed Detective Coulson was deliberately aimed at him by another police officer. So he said he's not saying that it was done in that, you know, that the police officer who shot Coulson, you know, knew that he was a police officer and shot him. They're saying they don't know why, but it was done intentionally. So either he thought that Coulson was one of the suspects or something else really fishy is going on.
Now, let's go a little bit deeper in here. And this is pure speculation on my part, but I said this yesterday before we even heard about this. So we're out on our walk talking about how cops are just, you know, thugs for the politicians. And what I thought was perhaps because this guy does work narcotics, and narcotics is particularly dirty business, especially on the police side of it. Maybe he was going to be a good cop and cross that thin blue line, and he had to be kept quiet. I don't know for a fact, but you know, you never know. Something might come out a few months from now or whatever. But I think it's really interesting because you were talking yesterday about this, that the department came out and said, you know, what a great guy he was and top cop and just all the stuff that goes along with it, and the typical stuff that you know what they're going to say before you even hear it. You don't even have to watch a press conference because you know how they're going to talk about how he's such an upstanding person on and off the job and everything else. And it's really taking an interesting turn because I think it was the first 3 months of 2015 where every fatal cop shooting involved another cop behind the trigger.
Right. And people are calling, you know, when this story first broke, a lot of people that I know were talking about it because it happened in my hometown area and I still live near there. And so everybody said, oh no, you know, the war on cops, this poor guy, he was a hero. And, you know, my thought was, well, you know, okay, first of all, why are we people calling him a hero? Do they know anything about him? You know, a narcotics officer in Prince George's County, Maryland. I'm inclined to think just what I know about the county is he probably did some bad things, but safe to say.
Well, you're automatically a hero if you wear a funny costume.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, they were saying, you know, they made a really big deal out of it. Oh, he was a cop's cop and everybody really liked the guy and like he had a great smile. And so, you know, we were talking about all that. Yeah. Yesterday, you know, the idea came up that maybe there is more to this story. PG County, it wouldn't surprise me. That county's an absolute mess anyway.
I just want to point out how adorable it is that you guys talk about cops on your walks. That's so romantic.
Well, it's like this. Last night, you know, before bedtime, she was, you know, giving me this loving look. And and she jumped on her tippy toes because she's only 5'1". And she put her mouth right by my ear. And before that, she had flashed this smile, this very seductive smile. And then she whispered softly in my ear, "Taxation is theft."
True story.
And after that, I was hers. I couldn't help myself. She had me at Feinstein the police.
And the system.
More Freedom Fiends coming up after this.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and I'm with Lisa, Nick, and do we have any more on the cop foolishness, the shooting each other up, or the war on cops, or any of that other stuff? Anyone?
Well, I just saw another headline in And I like the opening to this article. In a move rarely seen in shootings involving police, an off-duty Farmers Branch officer has been charged with murder 3 days after fatally shooting a teenager and wounding another. Officer Ken Johnson was arrested Wednesday night in the death of Jose Cruz, a Dallas 16-year-old who was shot in an altercation on Sunday morning in Addison. The officer was also charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in the shooting of Cruz's classmate, who is expected to survive. Now, we know that when someone is charged with murder, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to stick. So, you know, this has happened before, and cops have gotten off.
And it's quite possible that the prosecutor will sandbag the case against his coworker and he'll not be indicted, or he will not be convicted, or even worse, it might just be a case of a jury pool that has been educated or indoctrinated in the government gulags, and they're going to say, oh, well, you know, the dead cop, we can't do anything for him, but this live cop, this our police officer, we can protect him. Or, you know what, maybe he needs special consideration because he has a difficult job and he's our police officer. Or, I don't know, just some other stupid nonsense like that.
Right. Yeah, in this case, these teenagers were attempting to break into a car and they fled from the cop when they saw him. And the cop chased them and opened fire on the teenagers, which is, that's an execution on the street for attempting to allegedly steal property.
Wait, this is
the story.
Okay. Wait a minute. Oh, I was screwing around playing with memes here. So.
Yeah, the kids were trying to break into a car, apparently, is what the officer says. And he went over and confronted them. They took off in a car. He chased them. And the officer also rammed the kid's car, the teenager's car. He rammed the car, too.
All right, this is still the one where the cop got shot by his coworker?
No, this is a different story.
Oh, okay.
Totally different story. Sorry. Names. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe all these different stories, you know, happen and all kind of do seem to blend into one.
Yeah, I just don't get how people are able to toe that thin blue line. It doesn't make any sense to me. How can you let people off for things like this? And I can understand the mentality behind it a little bit, especially in the system, the judicial, so the so-called justice system, the injustice system. Let's let our buddies off because, oh no, they do good work with us. I can get where they come from with that. And it's not true. I don't believe it. Yeah. And, but then you look at people, it's like, how can you excuse them for doing that? Oh, they're doing their job. It's like, it's their job to execute kids on the street? No, of course not. That's not due justice at all. And it's just, surprises me that people are so willing to excuse things just because you have a shiny badge.
Yeah, when I really saw that, was there are two cases that stick out in my mind. And one was the Kelly Thomas case. And I don't know if you're familiar with that one, Nick. Mm-hmm. And then Eric Garner, of course. I mean, to me, those two in particular were just so blatantly, just so wrong. Murder, you know, and for people still were justifying it.
Nick, any closing thoughts before we go to break for the second hour?
No. Feinstein the pigs, man.
Right?
But just remember, without the government police, there'd be murders on the street and people shooting each other.
Breaking in the car.
Yeah. Whatever.
Worms. We'll be right back.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite of LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends are covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. BIPCOT.org. And we're here. It's the second hour of the Freedom Fiends. It's Nick Hazelton, the dear sweet Yak Emperor, with Lusander Fiend, his loyal chef, and Lisa DeLascia.
I don't have a role assigned. Oh, thank you.
I couldn't think that quick. I was trying to think what kind of call Lisa.
Juvenile delinquent.
What role could I fill? I don't know. I make good dessert. Look at me volunteering to a role for myself. No. It's the Duck Empress. I like that.
The Duck Empress. Yeah, the dear sweet Duck Empress.
Excellent.
Where does that come from?
Explain it, Lisa.
Oh, you don't know about that. Okay. No. So where I live, there are a lot of ducks that roam around outside, and they like me. They follow me down the boardwalk, and when I go over to the little park, I've never even fed these ducks, but they like me. They follow me around, and they talk to me. And so I've taken a couple of little videos, and I used to post the videos on Lou's wall and kind of tease them, like, hey, heard you're having some trouble, shooting ducks. Yeah, duck hunting. And, you know, here I am, and I've got them following me down the street. So that's where that comes from.
That's awesome.
Yeah, needless to say, I was very happy about being teased, and you know, there's nothing that makes a hunter feel better than going out on the water, out on a big old lake or something like that, and not getting a chance to shoot ducks and barely even seeing any ducks, and then, you know, some girl over on the bay has a video of them following her around like she's a Pied Piper or some stuff like that. It's like, yeah, and it's just really what a man needs to just really ruin his hunting weekend.
That's just how I roll. That's what I do. I'm here to ruin the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, government, you ruin everything. Oh. I'm just kidding. She's not that bad.
Not that bad. Just a little bit bad.
Well, dare I say that you're rather exceptional.
Wow. Thank you. Well, right back at you. That's very nice. There's probably a punchline coming, but I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh. And Nick, are you nauseated by now?
Yeah. I'm throwing up in a corner.
Like, stop.
You're so gross.
Cooties. Yeah, the grown-ups. Yeah, cooties. Yeah. Oh, my God, you're probably going to kiss, aren't you? You have no idea what we do during the breaks.
Oh, my my gosh. We don't want to
know. Or when you're talking for an extended period of time. Oh my gosh. You okay, Nick? Did we push you the rest of the way through puberty? No. All right, so anyway, we talked in the last hour about you rubbing out a yak because you don't like them. Talked about cops with their pepper spray. Hey, maybe you could get that cop to pepper spray the yak after you rub it out, and that way you won't have to season so much before you throw it on the barbecue grill. But, just a bunch of foolishness. Now, I have an extra special hatred for the cops right now because I recently got revenue generated by the Michigan Stormtroopers. I mean, state troopers. I was going down the road, and I did not harm anybody, but this fat welfare slob, because he needs to justify his existence and can't go get a productive job out in the real world, he has to pull me over for going faster than some arbitrary number. And I call it arbitrary because really there's no scientific method to determining it. It's mostly about, well, this feels like it would be a good speed for some politician to say. And it's also arbitrary because all another cop has to do is show his badge, and he's probably gonna not get a ticket for doing the same thing that I was doing. Or maybe they have to, maybe a friend's, a spouse or something like that can name drop and take advantage of the friends and family program. Or maybe, maybe the same magistrate that I spoke to on the phone today would say, you know, I am the magistrate, you know, down in such and such county. So, you know, it's arbitrary because when they can selectively enforce it, it's just meaningless. So if it's just meaningless, then it's just a ploy to generate revenue. And I actually said that to the magistrate today. I said, look, you and I both know this is about revenue generation. And here in Michigan, they got this beautiful shakedown scheme. Not only do they shake you down for the violation, as they call it, but if your driving record is good enough, they'll send you a nice little letter that, on top of paying the $120 fine, if you pay like $100 to the state of Michigan, you can take an online remedial driver safety course and pass that, and they won't report the points to your insurance company. So if you engage in the blackmail scheme and pay them off some more, then they won't report you to your insurance company. And the really bad thing about this is, you know, not only does the local government go and tax you without representing you, because that's what a traffic violation is. Well, truth be told, I don't want the taxation. I certainly don't want the representation either. I'd pay them 10% to go away and never have to deal with them again. I would burn 10% of my paycheck to get rid of these clowns. But anyway, so yeah, if I go and pay this extra money, and that's all it is a shakedown scheme. And I'm trying to explain this to a magistrate, and she's either so brainwashed or she's heard it so many times that she's already formulated her responses. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And to top it off, you know, A decent street thug will take your money and have you on your way within 30 seconds. When's the government? It takes weeks. It takes phone calls. You might even have to drive an hour and a half to go down to a stupid building, you know, an hour and a half away. They can't even do a shakedown operation efficiently. And to top it off, after the highwayman gets your money, he leaves you alone. He goes about his business. He doesn't keep harassing you.
Yep.
So, anyway, here in Michigan, there's been a little thing going on, and this comes to us from RT, and the headline is, Michigan judge ordered to stop jailing poor people over fees. And what did you get from that, Lisa? Because I read this in one of the local newspaper websites.
Well, I have a lot of questions. One is, they're saying that the court should have to determine if a person is able to pay a fine or fees or whatever they are supposed to be paying. And if the person is not eligible to or not able to because their income is too low or they have financial hardship of some sort, then the judge can't put those people in jail. But if they do have the ability to pay, as determined by a judge, they can be jailed for failing to pay. But I want to know, first of all, how is this judge going to, one, determine this? You know, based on what? How? I mean, they're going to do a full financial assessment of each person. That's my first question. Who they're going to do that? And then what about the people who can afford to pay? So it's fine to jail them and. I don't know. It seems very arbitrary and...
From each according to his ability to each according to his need. That's how government works. Yeah. Government is socialistic in nature. So with this, if you're able to pay, then you pay. Or if you're able to pay and you don't pay, then you go to jail. Because government has to teach you a lesson. If you don't pay what they say that you owe, they will spend even more money to put you in jail and not collect what you owed them in the first place, or what they say you owe them in the first place. So, yeah, worst shakedown artist ever.
Yeah, it says here that there's this particular judge in Michigan who often incarcerated people without determining whether they had the ability to pay the fines in question in the first place. One woman who failed to license her dogs, a minor violation, and pleaded guilty to contempt, was scared she would go to jail because she couldn't afford the $455 charge in fines and fees that she supposedly owed. That is a lot of money to license dogs to begin with. I mean, I know that's fines and fees and things that they racked up, but for someone to be afraid that they're going to go to jail because they can't afford to license their dogs, I can't wrap my head around that.
Why do you have to license your dog in the first place?
I would like to know that too. Yeah. I mean, do you have to license yaks, Nick?
No, I don't.
It's a dangerous animal.
Hey, do you put the little tag on a bolo tie and put it around the yak's neck? or does Steve Miller do that for you?
Steve does that.
Okay. And do you pay him in memes of cute pets and other furry critters?
Mm-hmm. I do.
He loves that. As a matter of fact, those of you that are out there that are Facebook friends with Steve, you should probably post a bunch of those cute fuzzy pet memes on his wall. I'm sure he will really appreciate that. As a matter of fact, if you're not a friend of his on Facebook, just go and just send him a friend request and then bombard him. Or go to, what's his Twitter handle? I think it's @SteveMillerTwice.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So I think it is Steve Miller Twice.
Yeah, go find him and show Steve the love. Show him lots of pet meme pictures.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So you're in trouble.
Oh, I'm not. So here in Michigan, and this isn't just Michigan. This is just where the story's coming to light. What you have is because government is so desperate for more money. I mean, it's an insatiable monster. It's like putting a horse out in a field. With a horse, it won't stop eating when it's full. It'll just keep eating and eating and eating until it dies. And that's how government is with money. So rather than directly tax everybody, it has to go through all these different schemes. And we'll talk more about this when we come back from this trip to the non-government market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So before we went to break, I was talking about how government is like a horse with an insatiable appetite, and it will keep eating until it explodes. I honestly can't think of the last time that there wasn't a year without a deficit, as far as particularly federal government. And I think the different states vary. There's some that are pretty close to balanced budgets and whatever. But I, for the most part... especially the federal government is just a filthy beast that can't balance a checkbook. And with all the different fines and fees and taxes out there, one of the ways of generating more revenue is to create new violations, different things that people can be forced to pay money for. Because if there was actual direct taxation, I call it an income tax, call it a excise tax on products or something like that. If those taxes were so direct and so high, there wouldn't be a tree that didn't have a politician, judge, lawyer, or cop swinging from it. Because there would be outright rebellion because of that. Plain and simple. People will only take so much fleecing, but if you can come up with a way to say, hey, slave, you were bad, therefore you have to be punished. And even better, if you can get the slave to believe that the punishment is just. And even better than that, if you can get the fellow slaves to pile on that slave and take your side, then you are the ultimate slave master. And that's what these violations are. These people that say, well, you shouldn't have broke the law. You know, you should have been wearing your seatbelt. You weren't wearing your seatbelt, so you have to give the government money. They don't explain why the government should get the money. They just say that you should be punished because they've been trained to have a love of obedience rather than a love of liberty and a love of self-governance. So they say, well, you didn't obey the law. You didn't obey the government. And here in Michigan, there's no more helmet laws. So you don't get a ticket for riding a motorcycle without a helmet, which is, you know, kind of dangerous, but you do get a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. And the motto here is click it or ticket, which shows that even humans have leash laws here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, it's just an insatiable monster. And also from RT, there's an article that says, still not enough. U.S. government collects record $1.2 trillion in taxes, or $8,000 per taxpayer. And this is for the first 5 months of fiscal year 2016, so starting October 1st. And it says, Uncle Sam hauled in $1.248 trillion in taxes for the first 5 months of fiscal year 2016, costing each taxpayer $8,263, according to a monthly Treasury Department statement. Even after adjusting for inflation, however, the government is still in the red. So it can't even steal enough to fund its basic drug habit. And that drug being government services and war and welfare, corporate welfare, poor people welfare, everything. It can't sustain itself. So when people say, I wish government ran like a business, well, it would have been out of business long before it hit $1 trillion in debt. I wish it ran like a business too. Shut it down, liquidate the assets, and let it die.
Yes. What really, really amazes me is that this was just for a five-month period that they collected that much money. It was from October 2015 to February 2016. And income tax was $597 billion of that, so about half of that. The rest of it was from Social Security and other payroll taxes. And then there's some of the little random things. But the national debt, this says here that the taxpayer's share per taxpayer to pay down the national debt is about $160,000.
Oh, and the national debt is now $19.1 trillion and still growing.
You know, you know how many times I've been told that me and my generation is going to have to pay off the debt? You know, I've been told that right. So many times. And the last few times it's happened, I'm like, wait a second. It's my job to pay this off? What are you talking about? No way. And that I told him that. I'm like, wait, that's not me. No, no, I'm not paying that off. And they're like, well, you guys have to. It's your generation. We screwed up, but now you guys have to fix it. It's like, the government did it. And I'm not helping papers, at all.
Those loan papers are like the social contract. I didn't sign Schumer. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa and Nick. And before we get back into the government debt and I do want to make a recommendation to people to change the language. Quit calling it the national debt. Quit calling it our debt. Call it the government debt. A little truth in advertising there. But anyway, I have a special announcement. The fourth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest has just been officially put up. It has a new website now. So to get tickets, go to mplfest.org. That's Mike Papa Lima Fest. .org. And this will be on the August 26th through the 29th at Circle Pines in Delton, Michigan, just outside Kalamazoo, same place as the last couple of years. And the ticket prices, the early bird ticket prices are for adults for 3 nights, $50. And there's a early bird discount if you pay with Bitcoin. And that is $42.50 with Bitcoin. So a 3-night camping trip, that's your admission to the event. That's the camping. That's the amenities of the site for $42.50. I can't even spend that much at home. So get registered. Go to mplfest.org, Mike Papa Lima Fest.org, and register your friends and family today. So, all right. Back to the parasitism here. So with the $19.1 trillion government debt, what do you think it would take to pay that off, Nick?
Ooh, I've done the math on how much taxes are collected before, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, Lisa gave the rundown on the taxes that were collected for the first 5 months, and this is the largest take for the first 5 months of any year in history. So I'm guessing that part of that is inflation based, because Michael Dean always says there's no way that somebody could be honestly become a billionaire without lying, cheating, and stealing. But quite honestly, billionaires of today are just millionaires with a lot of inflation on there. Mm-hmm. So I think inflation has had a lot to do with it. But that means that about $1.25 trillion was sucked out of the productive economy and went into the government rat hole. Now, something else here. Let's find it. Okay. The government does $19.1 trillion has been growing since the federal, since the last federal budget surplus in 2001. Budget surplus? Yeah, I don't think so. National debt still went up. So this whole nonsense about a budget surplus is just nonsense. Currently, the U.S. national debt sits at 105% of the country's annual GDP, and each taxpayer's share would be $160,000, according to Treasury data. 105% of the annual GDP. Now, something else about GDP is 40% of it, at least 40% of it, comes from government spending. So if you really want to know what the 40% of the government economy looks like, go to your computer, grab the surge protector with all the different plugs in there, unplug the surge protector from the wall, plug the surge protector into itself, and that's money, that's the 40% of the GDP that comes from government spending. So how on earth does this get paid off? Lisa, you did some searching. What'd you come up with?
Well, it doesn't get paid off, but it's because it keeps growing, so it's impossible. But I found an analysis from back in 2012 when the debt was at $16
trillion.
Trillion, sorry. See, I can't even comprehend that number.
That was a minute of spending.
Yeah. No kidding. And this says that if you take an income of $50,000 per year, you know, let's say that one person who makes that much a year is going to pay off the debt. Okay, $16 trillion. If you don't spend any of that on food, rent, transportation, income tax, or anything at all, and you take that whole $50,000 a year and use it to pay down just the new debt that the government overspends every year, which this says is about $1 trillion, it would take your family 32 million years to pay it off. If you multiply that times, well, this says times 16, because the government's now, according to, you know, in 2012 was $16 trillion in debt, it would take you 512 million years to pay it off.
But that's for one person to pay it off,
right? One person was paying it off at $50,000 a year. So 50, yeah, that's still is hard to comprehend.
Okay, so a credit card company would cut somebody off at what, $50,000?
Oh, I probably less than that now.
So, all right. Does it say with the whole socialist system of everybody paying their fair share and everybody's productivity being taxed, and then also the taxes are added into every purchase? Does it say how long that would take to do for everybody collectively to pay off the government debt?
No, it didn't say that. In that article, it didn't give that analysis. It just gave if one family was paying it off.
Okay. Now, what's really interesting is because this money is created out of nowhere. I mean, it's literally pushing buttons on a computer and moving decimals on the money supply. People are actually paying interest on this stuff. This isn't like digital media that people are paying for. This is, you know, just literally creating stuff out of thin air. I mean, there's absolutely nothing there. Nothing went into creating it other than saying, okay, poof, it exists. And so people are actually paying interest on this. I think the best way to pay off the government debt would be to send big giant containers of thin air to whoever the creditors are, because that's where the money came from in the first place. Nick, you're going to be on the hook for this stuff. What are your thoughts?
I'm not going to give the government any more money than what they're going to force me to give them. That's just about it. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't want to give them my money at all, but it's going to happen. And I just don't care how much money the government has or is in debt with. You know, it just doesn't matter that much to me, because they're never going to pay it off. And that's just the way it's going to work. It's just going to get to the point where it gets terrible and terrible, terrible. And either they collapse because of it, or they pull some trick out of the sleeve, out of their sleeves, and keep it going for a little bit longer. I don't know, man. It just seems like it's inevitable. It's going to crash at some point, and it's not going to get better.
I'm hoping for the collapse, but the problem is, I'm sure that somebody, some creditor, is going to say, "Hey, you know, I loaned you this money that was created out of thin air, and therefore I want to be paid back." So I could see government, if they're forced to pay back, liquidating assets, and by liquidating assets, giving people's property that they bought and paid for and paid rent on. So, but the big thing here is, this shows that the federal government extracted $1.25 trillion, still in the red. If you look at all the taxes, all the excise taxes, all the import tariffs, all the fines, fees, property taxes, licenses, everything else, the average person, somebody in my income bracket or Lisa's income bracket, loses anywhere between 50 and 75% of our incomes to the tax man in various forms. 50 to 75% of our income is to support a monster Leviathan government that none of us want. So what is this? All this nonsense that government serves the people? No. The people serve the government. They're the slaves. You know, back in 1800, the master would go choose the slaves, and now here in 2016, in the election season, the slaves are trying to choose their masters.
Yeah, so it's just a crazy, weird scheme that some people have pulled off, and it's, you know, I can congratulate them for being very clever, but, you know, it's not going to last for long, right? And that's something I've been thinking about for a long time is, you know, how do these people get to power, and how do they get to that point? How do you get to a point where you can get the slaves to choose their own master? And it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense to me, but you know, they do it through all kinds of ways, right? Through propaganda and manipulation and, you know, yeah.
Lying. I guess
that's, yeah, right? It's
don't just crazy. Forget fear. Don't forget fear.
Yes.
Because look at how many people are afraid that ISIS is going to have their navy come and invade the Atlantic seaboard. You know, the whole coastline is going to be taken over by the ISIS navy, and the ISIS air force is going to drop airborne troops into the Midwest, and they're going to go steal cars and go take over everything. And they're just people that are actually afraid of this nonsense. They're afraid of everything, including their own shadow, because they were told by Fox News or MSNBC that they have to worry about the foreign invaders or every other thing out there. So,
or the boogeyman of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever the current boogeyman is, they have to be afraid of. And the only answer for that boogeyman is government. And not to mention the government indoctrination gulags, where they start grabbing them at like 4 or 5 years old, and they start them off with pledging allegiance to a stupid piece of fabric. And not that any of these kids know what allegiance means, or pledge, or what a republic is, but that don't matter. They just have to repeat it and eventually make it a part of their daily life. So anyway, yeah. What else is going on? Because $19.1 trillion is not really big enough. How big does the government debt have to get, Lisa? We'll talk about that when we come back. Just wait till the tax man's saying, "Bitch, better have my money."
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
So with the $19.1 trillion government debt, what does Bernie have in mind here? You got something from Reason Magazine, Lisa?
Yeah, I do. So Bernie wants to increase the size of the federal government by about 50%. And that, of course, won't come cheap. The Tax Policy Center estimates that Sanders' proposed tax hikes would cost $15.3 trillion over the first decade, thereby lowering the average after-tax income by 12.4%. Of course, Bernie thinks he's going to be hitting the rich with this, but the article from Reason goes on to explain why that's not what would happen. All of us will be hit with this. Even the most poor Americans will be stuck with a tab for all of Bernie's promises, unless Bernie's going to grow a grove of money trees somewhere.
Farm subsidies for money trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then, what else is going on? What's going on with the censorship? How is the USSA resembling the USSR?
Oh, well, it's kind of funny because a little while ago, Michael sent us an email and said that Russia is talking about outlawing, you know, any kind of speech against Putin. So any kind of insults, they're going to make that illegal, punishable up to 6 years in prison. And he commented that that sounds like something Donald Trump would do. And sure enough, a minute ago, I find this article that says Donald Trump's campaign barred a Politico reporter who has been covering it for months from a Tuesday press event with the explanation that the reporter is dishonest and third rate, continuing a pattern of barring reporters' access if they write about him unfavorably. So there you go.
So it sounds like Putin and Trump want to make the Alien and Sedition Acts great again.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Okay. And we also have the DOJ. We talked about the court earlier with the judge here in Michigan that was getting in trouble over putting poor people in jail because they didn't have the financial ability to pay the shakedown money. It appears that the Department of Justice, that's Department of Preventing Justice, has been warning courts about finding and jailing poor people and warning them about, you know, not just being jerks, in some regards. And the reason is because it's the eroding faith in government. Hey, government, keep acting like government, please. Eventually there will be enough people that nobody will want you anymore. Nobody will want to tolerate you. Nick, you got any redemption? Anything that jumps to mind?
Well, no, nothing that really jumps to mind. I think you're saying it just right. Eventually people are just going to get sick of it. You know, that's just the way of the market, right? This is not a fantastic service or a good that the government, right? It's not a great product. So I think it's going to fail eventually. It might take a little while, but it'll be gone. It'll be off the shelves.
Okay, Lisa, do you have anything else to throw in?
This might be a little bit of good news. The prosecutors in Chicago and Cleveland both lost re-election bids after police abuse controversies. The prosecutors who were involved in the Laquan McDonald and Tamir Rice shootings were both defeated. So maybe that's a little bit of good news there. You know, those were two kids who were killed by cops, and prosecutors didn't, you know, do anything about it because they investigated themselves and everything was fine.
And in other news, the fox has cleared himself of any wrongdoing in the hen house. The article from the Justice Department, the warnings came as part of an effort to reform court practices that perpetuate poverty and result in unnecessary deprivations of liberty, the Justice Department said. The consequences of the criminalization of poverty are not only harmful, they are far-reaching, said Attorney General Loretta Lynch in a statement. They not only affect an individual's ability to support their family, but also contribute to an erosion of our faith in government. Well, gee, if all the fines affect somebody's ability to pay their bills, how about all the taxes? How about all the fees? How about basically supporting this monster Leviathan government and having Loretta Lynch in her job? Do you think maybe that has an impact on them? And the whole thing about the faith in government, that's what it is. It's a faith. It's just a belief. It's not based upon anything. It's just a faith. Let it erode. Let it drift away. Thanks for coming on tonight, Lisa and Nick. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.